League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on this Thursday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. It is the final day of the Major League Baseball All-Star break. So one last chance to really reset here at the break as we enter the second half of the season. Second half for sure. Post All-Star break, great. Stretch run, the prolonged one at that, absolutely. But not exactly the midway point. All 30 clubs have played at least 95 of their 162 regular season games, but we reset where everything stands. We have gone division by division. We'll talk some World Series odds a little bit later on. Yesterday, DRS, the award races in the American League. Today, that same topic of conversation in the National League. Later on in this hour, we'll check in with some more football news and notes, including day number three of the four-day extravaganza in Atlanta, known as SEC Media Days. Needs to be a bounce-back year in T-Town, the second year for Kalen DeBoer at the helm in Tuscaloosa. We'll hear from DeBoer, Nick Saban's rumored return to coaching. And DeBoer needing to bring Alabama back to a college football playoff. The Tide favored to do just that this year. Plenty to get to here, DRS, in hour number two.
All right, another hour down, people. Just a few short days ago, Ben, on Monday, we're like saying, like, there's no way. There's no way I can do this. You're doing push-ups. You're doing sit-ups. You're running around the house. Like, it's like, no, I can't make it through. And Tuesday, the day wakes, daybreak. It's like, we're going to do another show. And Wednesday, we're going to do another show. And Thursday, where you can see that horizon. And on that horizon, that pot of gold, Ben, that is the NFL and the college football season. You can see it there. And baseball gets back into our lives tomorrow. We can handicap baseball games. We could watch it play out throughout the day. And then before you know it, next week, as Ben pointed out, everybody's in training camp and you get those extra little tidbits. Who's performing well? Who's with the second team? Who's with the first team? All of that fun begins and then culminates at the end of the month with an actual game on your television screen. And away we go into the month of August. Yep. Get in your family time. Get in your vacation time, because once football season hits, nobody's taking a single day off, which means Ben Stevens, Kevin Walsh, nobody. And anybody else on this network. Nobody.
Nobody. I would never even dream of it. No DRS live action as we speak at the Open in Northern Ireland at Royal Portrush. Jacob Skov-Olesen and Hau Tong-Lee still remain those co-front runners and our leaders right now at 4 under par. Both Lee and Olesen in the clubhouse, their opening round, their opening 18 holes are done. Matt Fitzpatrick continues to plot along. He is 3 under through 14. A couple of the Englishmen having some good looks over there in Northern Ireland. Matthew Jordan, 3 under. He is playing his final hole. How about the veteran Lee Westwood, who had to qualify for the Open Championship? He posts a 2 under 69. A couple of other very familiar names for a very long time. Sergio Garcia. 2 under through 6 out the gates and doing well to start. Philly Mick, man. Phil Mickelson, 1 under par, 70 in his opening round at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland at the Open Championship.
Yeah, look, I like it. I want the old timers out there. Like, what, Tom Watson maybe trying to knock down one? Where is he at? Oh. Bring him back into the race at this point. Maybe Tiger can get out there. Tiger could have competed in this one, even with, like, limping around. All you got to do, Ben, is hit that low sting around that golf course with a nice little chip and putt. You can hang in the business at this point. I just want to see that leaderboard chock full of superstars by the time we get to the weekend and moving day. That's what I want to see.
DRS, maybe Eldrick one day stalking the course once again. Lynx Golf is relatively flat despite the contours and the undulations, of course, and those weird bounces across the pond. We'll see when and if Tiger Woods is able to return. Scottie Scheffler with the best run that we have seen in the post-Tiger era. He is still one under par and still your tournament favorite at plus 350. That very short price, even a dollar down from where it was before this tournament got underway. And how about the native of Northern Ireland? Not all that far away from Royal Portrush. Rory McIlroy still had that second best price at plus 700. McIlroy tees off in about an hour. Keith Stewart will join us in hour number three to break down all the opening round action we are seeing at the 153rd playing of golf's oldest major, the Open Championship in Northern Ireland. All right. Futures focus reset on our final day of the Major League Baseball All-Star break. Yesterday, we looked at the American League odds for those award races. Today, the same study in the National League and DRS, much like the AL MVP market, the NL MVP market features a strong, strong favorite. Shohei Ohtani, even a better price now than that of Aaron Judge. Minus 800 for Ohtani to win his second consecutive NL MVP award. Pete Crow Armstrong, a historic season for Chicago. 7-1 number. And Juan Soto, pretty good entering the All-Star break in his debut campaign with the New York Mets. Had the second best price on opening day behind Ohtani at plus 550. Now a 17-1 number on Soto. Is he really in the race? Is PCA even really in the race? What say you, DRS?
None of them are in the race. Minus 800 again. You're going to look at that at the end of the season and say, I should have taken that, even though not very many people will take $800 to win $100 and sit it there for the next 5 to 6 months or whenever the MVP is going to get announced. But it's cheating. Shohei Ohtani can do something that nobody else in Major League Baseball can do. That means being maybe one of, if not the top five best hitters in baseball, and then go on the mound and throw some gems out here. Like, he's threw nine innings so far in his season, which isn't a lot, but that ERA is at one. Are we saying that once he gets the 5 and 6 innings, that ERA is going to stay at one? No, it isn't. But if it does, my goodness. I mean, just hand him the Cy Young on top of it as well. It's cheating. And also, you know, the topics that are going to come up to us are saying, you know, what happens in the future with Shohei Ohtani? Because to me, if I am a voter, is he hitting 35-plus home runs? Okay. Is he just, you know, your average starting pitcher? Oh, he's the MVP. Nobody else can come close unless you hit 75 home runs and break Barry Bonds' record. I don't even consider you for that award. That's how special of an athlete Shohei Ohtani is, Ben.
Yeah, and DRS, it is a really interesting story that we'll get to in just a second about Shohei Ohtani and the future beyond this year. Again, Ohtani has won two MVP awards in the last two seasons in two different leagues. He has two AL MVP awards in his career. He won the National League MVP in his very first season with the Dodgers, and he did not even pitch, which makes the conversation around a guy that has had five outings this year, nine total innings, as DRS has said, but he hasn't gotten roughed up. He's allowed five total base knocks in nine innings and only a single earned run. That was his very first start of the season, returning from that elbow injury. He also has 10 Ks, and DRS, the Ks are on the way up. In the two innings that he worked in July, in three innings in his most recent start in the final week, in the final weekend ahead of the All-Star break against the Giants, snapping that seven-game slide for L.A., I think the question that our producer Joe Friso poises is not so much, will Shohei Ohtani win the award this year? Yeah, he's minus 800, despite what Pete Crow Armstrong is doing for Chicago. The question better be asked, will Shohei Ohtani ever not win an MVP award again if he is going to be on the bump, as you just alluded to?
Yes, because people get voter fatigue. I'm like, he has to have a better season than they did last year. Or like, you know, you average a triple-double in the NBA. Well, now you need a quadruple-double every single game. Well, wait, he has the same exact statistics he did last year and won the MVP. Yeah, but it's some other guy's turn. And almost so you're going to hear this. It's not fair that we have to judge him on pitching. We should remove that because he should get judged as a Cy Young, and you separate just the hitting. That's not what we do in baseball. If Shohei Ohtani, again, hits 50 home runs a year and pitches, nobody should even be, he should be minus 2 million right now to win the award in the NL.
And he is well on his way to a third straight year of 50 plus long balls. He's got 32. He is the NL home run leader. More MVP and odds conversations next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So as we look at the MVP odds one final time, Shohei Ohtani to win the National League MVP for a second straight year, minus 800. He has made five starts on the bump, nine innings of work, only allowing a single earned run. That will continue to pick up here post All-Star break. 32 homers leading the National League right now, trailing big dumper Cal Raleigh by six, Aaron Judge by three, and 60 RBIs. DRS, is there anything, and I mean anything, that Pete Crow Armstrong can do following the All-Star break to make it even look slightly competitive in the National League and not see Ohtani's number continue to balloon throughout the remainder of this summer?
Shohei Ohtani breaking his leg and then Pete Crow Armstrong hitting 75 home runs. That's the exact answer on what Pete Crow Armstrong can do. Great baseball player, but nobody is going to be a starting pitcher and one of the best hitters in baseball. You can't match up with that. I don't care how much people, what a fun story it is here or there. Don't get voters fatigue. If Shohei Ohtani does this average performance that he's putting on right now for himself for the next 5 years, he should win it every single year, and it shouldn't even be a talking point like to say, hey, what's anybody have to do? What do they have to do? Hey, Pete Crow Armstrong, close 50 games next year. Be the best closer in baseball along with one of the best hitters. That's what Pete Crow Armstrong. Juan Soto, get a fastball together. Learn a knuckleball. Start 35 games for the Mets next year. Then you might be in the conversation, but they're not going to do that. Like Shohei Ohtani, every fifth day, giving you 5 to 6 innings of quality pitching and 50 bombs? Come on now. Like, I'm not a Dodgers fan. I'm a Phillies fan. I love to hate on some of the best superstars on the planet. But when facts are facts, he's far and away the single best baseball player in Major League Baseball by a wide margin because he does something nobody else in the sport can do. And it's not a novelty act like, hey, he can give us an inning here or there. He is a legitimate number one or number two on your staff and the best player in baseball at his position, which is raking at the plate. Oh, come on, man, stop.
So, Shohei Ohtani has won 3 MVP awards in the last 4 years. Last year in the NL, the two previous hardwares coming in the American League. As our producer Joe Friso pointed out, in 2022, it was the only year of the last four that Ohtani did not win the MVP award. Why? Aaron Judge made history, hitting 62 home runs, an American League record that still stands. PCA is trying. He's got the best WAR in baseball, wins above replacement. He is the only guy in Major League Baseball history, and it's a very long history, with 25 home runs, 25 stolen bases, and at least 70 RBIs ahead of the All-Star break. And yet, you see that plus 700 number. You might hate it, but it is the reality. A more competitive race, DRS, might be that NL Cy Young conversation, one that we have highlighted the last few weeks entering the All-Star break when Paul Skenes, despite the lack of success in his overall win-loss record and the lack of success of the Pittsburgh Pirates, remained the favorite and an odds-on favorite to win NL Cy Young. We saw Zach Wheeler continuing to deal gem after gem in terms of his outings in his Philadelphia Phillies remain in first in the NL East. The price continued to drop on Wheeler. We asked, when might Wheeler become the favorite? Is this your time to buy in? We hope you did. Wheeler is the favorite to win the National League Cy Young Award at minus 125. But Skeen's not all that far behind now, DRS. Also, a slightly minus money number at minus 105. How do you evaluate the head-to-head between Wheeler and Skenes to win NL Cy Young?
And maybe even the sentimental value, because again, humans are voting for this award. It's not a computer that's fed in statistics and spits out who the MVP is. The reason I say that is Zach Wheeler is one of the good guys in baseball, and he's a great baseball player. Zach Wheeler said multiple times, I want to win a championship, and I also want to win a Cy Young. But then has also said, I'm not even looking for a next contract. Like in 2 years, it doesn't even matter how well I'm pitching. Like I'm done, and I'm out of the sport. So maybe people look at this and say, well, if it's one-on-one with Paul Skenes, Skenes has 15 more years to pitch. Wheeler's got one or two left to pitch here, let's go ahead and give him that nod as truly being one of the best baseball pitchers or pitchers in baseball there are. And also, you're not just giving it away. Like, Wheeler's every bit as good as Skeens right now. But the questions are going to pop up here as well, because we are handicappers and voters see the same things. A lot of the times, Ben, it's straight up on statistics. How many strikeouts and wins really aren't reflected, but they sort of add to the conversation. Yeah. ERA, wins above replacement. We get all of that stuff right, no matter what, that you take a look at from a pitcher to a hitter's perspective. But understand this. We don't have to question if Zach Wheeler is going to get shut down over the final 2 weeks of the season as the Phillies ramp up for a playoff run. The Pittsburgh Pirates will tell you that Paul Skeens is going to go all the way through. Number one, because they're really selfish. And if maybe they can get more people in the ballpark on a Wednesday night in late September, they'll pitch Paul Skeens at that point, as opposed to saying, well, he only has so many bullets in his arm for his career. Why don't we just shut him down because our team absolutely stinks and it doesn't mean anything unless he gets the Cy Young and that's why we're letting him pitch, which is sort of interesting to say, well, we stink, we're not going to build around you, but go ahead, kid, blow out your arm trying to win a Cy Young award. It's sort of counterproductive at that point. So I do think that weighs in as well as why Zach Wheeler, along with the straw poll from the, you know, I guess general managers or front office that said they'd give it to Zach Wheeler at this point. But that all goes into my thinking of why Wheeler is a favorite today and not just everything that has to deal with strikeouts, wins, and let's just say war.
Smart DRS. And that's when it flipped on the Monday ahead of the All-Star break. And it will, I believe, continue to go in the favor of Zach Wheeler, assuming health, assuming both continuing to pitch on the level of dominance they have displayed this year. As we get deeper into August, September, and of course early October, that narrative of Paul Skeens being the superstar will fade as the Pirates are playing their offseason and Zach Wheeler is the ace for a team hoping to contend for a National League pennant. Let's not mistake. The narrative and the stardom is there for Paul Skeens. He was a short favorite entering this year at 2-1. Wheeler had the second best price, but $4 back at plus 600. Paul Skeens has delivered. That 2.01 ERA is the best in baseball. He is just 4-8. He has heard a lot of jokes, DRS, around the National League, plating two runs when Paul Skeens was in line to pick up the win on Tuesday night in the All-Star game. His last four starts for the Pirates, the Buccos have given him two total runs of run support. Let me check that real quick. Yes, three total runs of run support in those four outings. That is why Skeens is 4-8, despite what he has delivered on the bump. It's just the idea of individual success, of being that bona fide ace leading to team success, that I ultimately believe you could still bet Wheeler's price and he is going to win National League Cy Young this year. The other award races in the NL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Let's go around the rest of the award markets on this final day of the Major League Baseball All-Star break with a focus on the National League. DRS, it's no surprise that when you are an All-Star, you are a Rookie of the Year favorite as well in your debut season in the bigs. That's the case for Big Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, who now kind of has this weird narrative around his name. It's not his fault. He didn't campaign for himself to get into the National League All-Star team and that squad to be in Atlanta this week. Major League Baseball said that he should be there. Big Miz has been great. In the five starts that he has made this year, he's a minus 210 favorite DRS to a National League Rookie of the Year. That feels fitting. That feels justified. His All-Star selection, again, we've already had that debate numerous times, but Big Miz well on his way if he continues to pitch the way he did in his first five starts in the 9 or 10 that he'll make down the stretch of this second half.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen, and we know that's not going to happen. So if you're buying in on like basically his first five starts, understand this. Teams are smart. Batters adjust. There's a lot more video out. What is it like to pitch? Second time around. Like, you can be a power arm where you're not used to seeing that type of pitcher and say, okay, I struggle. Now, am I saying that he's going to absolutely get blown up in his next five starts? No, I'm not. But if we're just expecting, like, oh, he had five starts, he's the rookie of the year. Like, there's other really. Augustin Ramirez has been playing pretty good baseball for this season here for the Marlins. You take a look at Drake Baldwin, who's a very good young catcher, and also understand this. If you are looking at the Atlanta Braves, who might give themselves a short window, Ben, right? We're talking about under 2 weeks, let's just say, towards the trade deadline in Major League Baseball, give or take. Yeah. Let's just say if the Braves are, I don't want to say sellers on the market, but not adding to their team. Maybe they go, hey, Drake, man, we're just going to play every single game down the stretch, see if you can tear it up a bit, maybe, you know, hit 280, 285, double-digit home runs, pump up your RBI. Like, that's a legitimate spot I would look at. Chase Burns also, like, why doesn't Chase Burns have the same type of hype of Mizorowski? Because we're talking only about a few starts. Burns, over his next three starts, could strike out 11 in each start, and he catapults himself way up to the top. There's a reason why the betting market is so tough with a rookie of the year, because we haven't seen these guys. There's no background. Like, hey, you remember that, Ben, 3 years ago? He was really good over his final 15 starts in August and September. We don't have that. These guys can fall off or dominate at a moment's notice here, being such young baseball players. Mizorowski in the lead. Okay, I understand it, but he's only had five starts in Major League Baseball. I can't just tip my cap like, oh, that'll be minus 800 by the end of July. I wouldn't bet on Mizorowski because why? He's a rookie. You can't guarantee things happen.
You know, DRS, it's really funny, too, because we talk about the trends often when you see whatever award market it is in football, in the NBA, certainly in the National Football League when it comes to Rookie of the Year. I've made the point often it's difficult for a quarterback to win because you need team success and individual success. And now we've seen four QBs win the award in the last six years, and the previous two winners, C.J. Stroud and Jaden Daniels, basically wrap up the hardware by week five or six. Last year, we had two starting pitchers win the two awards. In the American League, our guy Luis, don't you dare call him, Lucas Kiel. And of course, Paul Skeens winning it in the National League. Mizorowski, the favorite to win it in the NL. But prior to Skeens winning it last year in the National League, the last starting pitcher, true starting pitcher to win the award, was Jacob DeGrom in 2014. Again, that's a decade of separation between starting pitchers winning the Rookie of the Year award in the NL. In the American League, it was Michael Fulmer. You might be saying, who? Ooh, for the Detroit Tigers back in 2016 as a true top-end starting pitcher. So again, it is rare to see a starter win the award of Rookie of the Year in his debut season. Minus 210, that price right now. DRS elsewhere, just so you know, if you wanted to maybe find some value, Drake Baldwin of the Atlanta Braves at plus 340 has that second best price to win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, exactly. And those are the guys that you look for, maybe expanded at bats heading down the stretch. They can steal it. And you're just looking for a trip up from the pitcher, because the expectations for Mizorowski are, oh, he's going to continue to dominate. And even if he slips back to a 3.25 ERA, oh, well, we needed him under one to win that. The expectations are incredibly high for him, not necessarily for a batter. We say, okay, hey, look at these statistics. At the end of the year, he did play well and the pitcher didn't do so well down the stretch. Maybe you get that added advantage thrown in. But the big Miz is being talked about a lot in the national landscape. That's why he's the favorite right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Edwin Diaz, the closer for the New York Mets, has that best price to win reliever of the year in the National League. I would just keep an eye on Robert Suarez as well of the San Diego Padres. He has the most saves in baseball with 28.
Yeah, he's a good closer there. And of course, if you do get those bonus points where you're closing in high leverage situations in national games, that's going to mean something to the voters, no doubt.
Yeah, DRS, the other two we'll talk about on the other side of the break, and then we'll reset where the records are in the standings around MLB in the race to be baseball's best. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
DRS, the other award markets, just to wrap up this conversation before we look at who has the best record in Major League Baseball at the break and who is favored to have the best record in Major League Baseball at the end of 162. Ronald Acuna Jr., an all-star who has come back for the Braves and looked like Ronald Acuna Jr. As we know, the 2023 NL MVP is a minus 1,100 favorite to win Comeback Player of the Year in the National League. Manager Craig Counsell of the Chicago Cubs, a short favorite at minus 135. Let us not forget, last year it was Pat Murphy of the Milwaukee Brewers after Counsell shocked everybody and departed for the in-division foes. This year, Counsell is the favorite. The Cubbies have a game lead over the Brewers atop the National League Central.
The thing I always get a kick out of, too, is like sometimes it's not about the best teams. Like Council's a nice story. Like they're not a surprise. Oh, my goodness. Never thought the Cubbies would be in first place at this point. There's a lot of talent. But like Dave Roberts, 50-1, you know, Rob Thompson, 50-1, like the guys with good baseball teams, they used to get knocked down a peg. And you take a look at like the Mets are like a half game back of the Phillies at this point. Carlos Mendoza, 50-1. It's almost like you have to have that. Hey, we're usually not good. We're finally good this year. Media likes you, and you vote them to the top. It's like in the NFL. It's like, hey, coach of the year, Andy Reid. Nah, he sucks. Put him like dead last. There's no way he can win coach of the year. It's kind of funny how that market works.
Yeah, it really is, DRS. It's also one of the newer awards in Major League Baseball. Yeah. And by the way, the guy with the second best price to win manager of the year for a second straight season is Pat Murphy of the Brew Crew, because we just keep thinking the Brewers are going to fall off and they consistently win games and try to earn playoff spots. All right, DRS, speaking of the Brewers, baseball's best team since June 1st and winners of seven straight at the All-Star break, hottest team in the National League, 56-40, but still trailing the Cubs by a game atop the National League Central. Best record in the NL at 58-39, despite snapping a seven-game slide last weekend. That is the LA Dodgers. Are they on pace to go over their win total in the preseason of 104.5? No, their updated win total at the break is 100-1. But are the Dodgers the team that is favored to have the best record at the end of 162 of them? Yeah, minus 150, that price right now, DRS, despite the Detroit Tigers having the best record in baseball by a full game in front of LA at 59-38.
Yeah, the Dodgers last 10 games, 3-7 heading into the break, and they won those games on Saturday and Sunday to say, you know what, it's not at all that disastrous close to the regular season as we still sit 5.5 games above the Padres, but also the best team in Major League Baseball, talent-wise, when they're healthy, it is the Los Angeles Dodgers. That's why they're the favorite right now. And the expectations in 2 weeks when we get the trade deadline, the Dodgers will actually be improving themselves even more. It's astounding when we see like the Dodgers, oh, look at that, they actually lost 39 games in the first half of the season. It's like, man, that's impossible. That's incredible that they did that. No, they still sit with one of the best records in Major League Baseball, and the expectations are we probably expect them to be even better in the second half once they get that starting staff rectified and Shohei Ohtani goes from 1 to 2 to 3 to 5 innings and is a normal starter every 5 to 6 days. So I don't have an issue there with the Dodgers because they do have the pedigree. You look at the Tigers, hey, the champ. No, they didn't win a championship last year. You know who did win it? The Los Angeles Dodgers. That's why they're favored at minus 150 and absolutely should be.
Yeah, and DRS, when you look at the updated win totals here at the All-Star break for, of course, what we have around Major League Baseball. Oh, by the way, a new market. Most team wins in July of 2025. Of course, the Red Sox are the favorites at plus 230 because Boston has won 10 straight now here at the All-Star break. When you look at those win totals around the bigs, I said the updated number on the LA Dodgers, 100.5. What is the updated win total on Detroit? 96.5, slight juice on the under at minus 114. Of course, last year was, I think, the first season since 2015, something close to at least a decade, we did not have a 100-game winner in Major League Baseball. Sure, at the end of it, we had the two biggest brands and the biggest payrolls in the sport in the LA Dodgers and the New York Yankees competing in a World Series, but nobody in the regular season got to 100 wins. I gave you that updated win total on the Dodgers. They are the only team that is a slight favorite to win 100-plus games right now at minus 138. The Tigers, the second-best price at plus 240. Cubbies, the third-best number at 4-1.
Yes, and also, by the way, the Dodgers to start the season, what was their price point getting in on the win total? Was it 104.5, like 105.5, something like that? Yeah. So Yeah, so not on correctly on those expectations, but I do think the Dodgers will be playing a lot of meaningful baseball down the stretch. And why is that important? Because understand this. If the Dodgers are getting pushback from the Padres and the Giants, that final 10 days of the season means we are throwing our best guys and we need to win these ball games. We know how it gets to, because until you have that win, it's not in your pocket. What I mean by that, let's just say I needed to get to 100 wins. There's four games left, man. Yeah. We have 99 wins. Of course they want to get to 100, but what happens if that's 100 and a half? They go, okay. Got our 100th win, already clinched the division, already have our seeding figured. Last three games of the season, no starters are going to play in these games. We're going to rest up and get ready for the playoffs. And like, oh my goodness, I'm left at the altar by one win at that point. So it's important that if you are cheering on a Dodgers team total, whether it's from the beginning of the season or now, you know who else you're cheering on? The Padres, Giants, and the Diamondbacks as well.
You know what's really funny, DRS, is the Dodgers are the second best team in baseball record-wise, best team in the National League. They're priced to win a World Series that was so wildly short to start the year. They're priced to win the National League that was so wildly short to start the year has grown even shorter, and yet they're going to probably finish, at least based on the win total overall, short of relative expectation entering the year. Joe Friezo, who tracks all of these numbers for us, our producer extraordinaire, minus 440 was the price, DRS, on the Dodgers to win at least 100 games to get to the century mark this year. Now it's a minus 138 number. Best record in Major League Baseball since June 1st. The Brewers at 25-12. The Red Sox and the Astros not all that far behind at 25-13. Also Toronto in that mix, 25-13. Had the Astros, DRS, in the final week entering the All-Star break not been bad, dropping 5 of 6 against the Guardians and the Rangers, they would probably have a little bit more juice to maybe pull the upset for the best record around MLB. Because again, when you look at those standings right now, in the American League, 59-38, best record for the Tigers. In baseball, in the AL, second best resides in Houston, 56-40. The Jays have been on the heater. They are 55-41. And the Cubbies, of course, had that second best record in the National League, third best in the bigs overall, 57-39. Chicago's been okay in the month of, or since the start of June 1st at 21-17, but it's really been the Brewers, Red Sox, Astros, and Blue Jays, the only four teams, DRS, 10-plus games above 500 or better since the start of June.
Yeah, by the way, the Houston Astros, like, yeah, we didn't like the way they sort of careened into the break here, but certainly in first place, which is something they weren't for the first majority of the Major League Baseball season. But also get this, like, the trade deadline's coming up. It's a very good front office. They'll make moves. But here's some of the best moves they can make. Hey, Jordan Alvarez coming back into the lineup, one of the best power hitters in baseball. Christian Javier, one of the better number three pitchers in Major League Baseball. He's due to come back off the IL shortly. Those are two massive improvements to that lineup without even making changes at the trade deadline. Those are some of the things that you try to add in to say, how dominant can a team be in the second half and rounding into form? Of course, it's always about the rest of your team staying interested in baseball, meaning we're not getting injured, we're not slumping at that time. But I look at the Houston Astros certainly as a buy-on team second half, not as opposed to what they did over the final week of the season. The best is on the horizon, it feels like, for me, for the Astros in 2025.
You know, DRS, it's such a good point, and we'll kind of get into those themes in stories for the second half post All-Star break later in our third and final hour. An All-Star break updated pick six all around Major League Baseball. You don't say. Our World Series predictions, who we think will be the home run leader, an award market that we like for a best bet, win total, playoff teams, and a team to keep an eye on that could get hot or maybe approaching the trade deadline, could be a buyer or a seller. Plenty to debate around baseball a little bit later on. Let's talk a little college football at SEC Media Day next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Today in Atlanta, Georgia, no longer all-star festivities in Major League Baseball, but our fourth and final day of SEC Media Days, the four-day extravaganza and event at the site of the College Football Hall of Fame. Yesterday, DRS, up there was Kalen DeBoer for Alabama, about to enter year number two at the helm in Tuscaloosa. Inconveniently, during SEC Media Days, a report that the former head honcho in T-Town, Nick Saban, wants to return to coaching after DeBoer and the Tide had a disappointing 2024, missing out on the college football playoff. So, of course, DeBoer was asked about it. Here's what the new head coach, I guess, at Alabama had to say.
Well, I mean, he's, you know, one of the greatest to ever do it. And so he's earned the right to, you know, do what he wants. I think the best part about what Coach Saban's doing right now is that he's still involved in the game. You know, he's growing the game. Yeah. He brings passion to it. You know, I enjoy when I get moments of, you know, on a Saturday morning, maybe we got a night game, flipping on the TV and seeing not just him, but the whole group game day and all the different ways that they break things down. You know, having a chance to see him once in a while, you can just feel that, you know, he still has that love for the game. You know, and I think that, you know, my sense is that in that he's enjoyed doing it in the capacity he's doing it right now. And but, you know, I think everyone who is close to him and, you know, I know from the fan base standpoint, can't help but want to, you know, him to be happy doing whatever he wants to do.
74 years old, DRS. Now, that's Nick Saban. He would turn 75 during this season if he were to return to coaching. That's not going to happen, as we discussed earlier on this week. I do think Nick Saban's been pretty darn good on TV, and I was very skeptical that he would be. He used to do this weird thing when he would look at the camera while he was being interviewed instead of at the person who was standing right next to him and interviewing him. So I didn't know how entertaining Nick Saban would be. He's been pretty darn good on television. I expect him to remain on TV. Shout out to Kalen DeBoer for even having to answer that question.
Yeah, like he has that cachet. It doesn't always work out, and you're right, because even some of the best athletes of all time, Jerry Rice was embarrassing on television. That's the best wide receiver in the history of the sport. Emmitt Smith was embarrassing on television. That might be one of the best running backs we've ever seen. So it's not the perfect transition for these players and coaches to just get behind the TV camera and, you know, just have a microphone in front of their face, and it doesn't always work out. But Saban's been very good, because you're right, he does love the game. He is passionate about the game. He does have answers to questions that most people don't know. Hey, coach, when you're down 7 at the break of an SEC championship game, what did you tell your team? Like, he can answer those questions. Hey, coach, when your team's not looking so good, you bring them back up and win a national championship. He can answer those questions. So he has the cachet, and he's very good on camera, and people will listen to what he has to say, because he's usually a straight shooter when he gives you those answers. And he's only getting more comfortable as time goes by on what you can and can't say, how you can approach things, and certainly one of those coaching fraternity things that you're never supposed to do, criticize other individuals or teams. He'll get better as the years go farther, as he separated himself as a head coach.
Excuse me, Coach Saban, I didn't mean to date you here. He's only 73 years old, but his birthday is in October. Something not discussed enough about Nick Saban: his birthday's on Halloween. A little bit spooky. Just thought would mention. So right now, DRS, the pressure is on Kalen DeBoer. There is no doubt about it, right? 9 wins last year, absolutely embarrassed in the ReliaQuest Bowl, although a bowl game, all of his guys were there against the reserves of Michigan. It leaves a bad lasting taste in the mouth of those around Tuscaloosa. The first season since Saban's first, back in 2007, that Alabama, including postseason affairs, did not win at least 10 games, only 9 for the Crimson Tide. But this year, the win total 9.5 in Tuscaloosa. Even juice on both sides. Minus 110 over, minus 110 under. Alabama, one of three teams around the SEC that has a minus money price DRS to reach the college football playoff. Of course, breaking in a new quarterback in Ty Simpson. Kalen DeBoer reunited with his offensive coordinator in Ryan Grubb, who makes his way to Tuscaloosa as well. They worked together for a long time at Washington. Grubb then remained in the Northwest as the OC for the Seattle Seahawks last year, but is now with DeBoer once again in Tuscaloosa. What is your outlook on the Crimson Tide entering 2025?
Same way every single year, because that bar had been reset by Nick Saban. Before Saban got there, they were dying for a winner after coming off the Bear Bryant years like 15, 20 years previous. The Shula years, the DeBoes. I mean, there was some bad football that you got in Alabama. So the standard, as we like to say in Pittsburgh, is the standard. And the standard is for them to make the college football playoff. And there's no excuses for them not to do that. There's always built-in excuses in the BCS era. Only two teams get to go there. So you have to be undefeated and we play in the SEC. That's impossible. And you can legitimately have 2 to 3 losses in the SEC and still be a competitive player down the stretch for the college football playoff. So the expectations for me, it isn't really championship or bust, even though technically Alabama fans probably think that way, but it certainly is playoff or bust at Alabama.
No doubt about it. A minus 160 price for Bama to reach the CFP this year. DRS, some news yesterday that as a champion of expansion, you might not love. Of course, the college football playoff conversation has really kind of featured the Big Ten now against the SEC when these two teams were pretty much in lockstep in terms of what the format might look like for the 16-team college football playoff era, supposedly coming our way in 2026. Now it seems as though the Big Ten remains locked in on the idea they want the 4-4-2-2-1 model, where the SEC has transitioned its thought to the 5+11 model, and both are standing their ground. The Big Ten saying, we are not going to budge unless the SEC adds a 9th conference game, which is always a conversation each and every offseason.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you know what the easiest thing to do with this is? If you are a Power 5 conference, you cannot play any team outside of the Power 5 conference. That handles everything we'll need down the stretch. No cupcakes. Keep it simple. Get the good teams playing the good teams. It'll all work itself out in the end. That's the issue I have with college football, not Big Ten versus SEC. Just take the cupcakes out of football and we'll all enjoy a nice, hearty steak instead, Ben.
But that is the issue. They want to be playing more P4 foes. We'll talk more about it up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Out this second hour on TEL. Let's call it Hot Topic Thursday, shall we, DRS? I'm going to present 4 headlines to you, and you can choose what we discuss in which direction you want to go. First, couple of football conversations. Robert Kraft got a response from his former head coach, Bill Belichick. Kraft on the podcast of Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski, saying the biggest risk that he took during his time at the helm of the Patriots as the owner was hiring Bill Belichick. Belichick fired back. It was the biggest risk for me, you idiot. You were a floundering franchise. So many people told me not to take it. Belichick did. They had resounding success for 24 years, but a bad breakup. 49ers second round pick, 43rd overall, DRS. Alfred Collins becomes just the second third rounder to sign as all of those rookies are starting to show up to training camp. Been a battle this offseason for the second rounders and wanting more guaranteed money. The Rangers paid Nathan Eovaldi his $100,000 all-star bonus despite not being named an All-Star, a 1.53 ERA in 16 starts this year for Eovaldi, who's missed some time due to injury, so not qualified to be among baseball's best. Wyndham Clark banned for life from Oakmont after a tirade around missing the cut at the U.S. Open a month ago. DRS, those your four headlines. You take it where you want, my friend.
Yeah, the first one we want to talk about, though, is this whole Belichick, Robert Kraft feud, which I think is hilarious, where somewhere the bad blood just got off. And sometimes that happens with ownership groups, right? Remember the Dallas Cowboys, maybe on the way to five or six Super Bowl championships in the 90s, where Jerry Jones goes, hey, why is Jerry getting Jimmy Johnson getting all the accolades and not Jim me Johnson. At this point? I got to fire the guy and move on so the people look at me as if I'm the architect of this franchise. And it seems like they're fighting with who was the more dominant presence in the locker room when it probably was just Tom Brady. Hey, you guys had Tom Brady. He's the guy that won all the championships. Once he went away, you guys were just a meaningless, floundering franchise. But you do equate it. Like, you ever see like the slap boxing things on TV where it's like each guy gets a slap and try to knock him off the podium? It feels like Robert Kraft and Belichick are doing that same thing, like slap for slap, just to try to get back at each other instead of just being gracious. Like, hey, you know what? Time for it to come to end. It was unbelievable. I hope sometime down the line I can recreate that with another coach, but we wish Bill well. It almost seemed like Robert Kraft was like, I let this guy go and then called all of my buddies in the ownership world here in the NFL. I'm like, don't you dare hire this guy. If you care anything about me or the NFL, you keep this guy out of football. Maybe there's a little bit of collusion on that point. But the other topic I want to talk about is Wyndham Clark here, banned from Oakmont.
Yeah, knew it.
Like, I love the story behind it. I really do. Players lose their cool all of the time. I'm pretty sure if you go into every locker room in the NBA, the NHL, the NFL after a tough loss, things get beat up, things get broken all the time. Maybe just say you're sorry for that and away with it. The fact is, like, taking a stand, like, he's banned from Oakmont. In 2033, we have the championship, which, again, is like a decade away. He won't be welcome back unless he pays for everything, and also he goes to anger management courses. Here's the simple thought about it. Wyndham Clark just owning up to it and saying, right, Ben, man, you know what? You're not supposed to lose your cool. The golf course was so tough that week. I really wanted to win it. Things fell apart. I beat up the locker. I apologize for it. The expenses, I'll pick it up, and everybody moves forward. It just seems like this is lingering around way too long with the demands of not only do you have to fix it, you have to apologize and go to anger management. Come on now. Just have the guy pay for it. He apologizes, and I'm pretty sure he won't come back and do it again.
He made an apology the week following at the Travelers Championship and then asked to move on. Oakmont had other ideas. I mean, truthfully, the fact that Oakmont president John Lynch, not to be confused, I believe, with the 49ers general manager, in a letter to the rest of Oakmont's members, said that Wyndham Clark has to pay for the damages to the locker, has to make a, quote, meaningful contribution to a charity selected by the Oakmont Country Club, and what is even, this is the funniest part, undergoes counseling and or anger management.
How does Oakmont
up on that? They're like, all right, Wyndham, we saw you signed in today at your doctor's office. You can come back and play in the 2033 U.S. Open.
Nope, here's what I do. I'm Wyndham Clark. I make a phone call over to Oakmont, and I say to myself, you know what? I'm going to make my penance here. I'm going to come back. I want to see the damage that I caused. I want to write this check to you. You know, I come back with a golf club. I bust up another locker room, walk out of place. Like, I'll never be back here. Bang! There goes another two rows over there out the window at this point. Look, there are some demands you need to make and move on. There's other ones that you're just grandstanding. Stop the grandstanding at this point. You got to be kidding me.
It is interesting, though, because Clark won the 2023 U.S. Open, by far his best performance in any major ever. So he plays in the U.S. Open for the rest of his life, or so we think. Hour three next.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.